Excuse me, at this time the call is being recorded. If we have any objections, you may disconnect. You may begin, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Glenn, could you start with a roll call?
Yes, certainly. Philip Shepard?
Yes.
Mike Rodenbach?
Here.
Bilal Baran?
Here.
Uta Decker has excused herself. Christina Rosette?
Here.
Cyril Chua? Tony Holmes? Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Bruce? Robin Gross?
Present, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Thank you. Norbert Klein?
Greg Ruth joining.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Carlos Souza?
Here.
Adrian Kinderis?
Hello.
Tim Ruiz? Tom Keller? Jordi Iparagia? Chuck Gomes?
Yes.
Edmund Chan?
Yes.
John Bing?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavalli?
Hello.
Ellen Greenberg for ALAP?
Here.
And for staff, we have got Denise Michelle, Olaf Nordling, Liz Gasper, Patrick Jones, Karen Lentz, and Tina Dam. And Rita Roden sends her apologies. She's not able to be on the call today. And Kurt Pritz, I see, is on the call as well.
Thank you.
Have I missed anybody?
Okay, thank you. The next is to basically, does anybody wish to update their statement of interest at this point? I haven't seen any on email. If anyone does need to, please do it by email and then mention it at the next meeting. So if no one wants to. Now, the next thing I had on the agenda was review agenda. It was pointed out that I was perhaps wasting people's time reviewing this because everyone could read it. I don't believe it's necessary to read it, but I would like to ask if anyone is fine with proceeding with it as it is, or does anyone wish to amend it, and would anyone like to have it read through if they can't read it themselves? Okay, hearing no requests for reading, review, or amendment, we'll proceed with the agenda as it was sent out. Okay, item 3 was to approve council minutes. We have 2 sets of minutes, one for 31 October, which was the face-to-face meeting, and one for 6 December. In terms of 31 October, would anyone like to move those minutes?
I will still move, this to Chuck.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. Does anyone second that?
I second that.
Okay, thank you.
Who was the second?
Jump.
Thank you.
Any discussion on those minutes before we take a voice vote? Okay, all those in favor of approving the meetings of 31 October, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed to approving those minutes, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Those minutes have been accepted. And now we have the minutes for 6 December. Will anyone move those meetings? Not those minutes? Do I have a motion for them?
Uh-oh. This is Robin. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Robin. Does anyone second that?
Second, one? Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Any discussion on those minutes before we vote on them? Okay. I'll ask for a voice vote. All those in favor of accepting those minutes, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to those minutes, please say nay. Are there any objections to those minutes? Absent from those minutes. Hearing none? Okay, thank you. Those minutes have been accepted also. One of the things we can talk about in the future, as was suggested by, I guess it was Chuck in response to first message, is perhaps making approval of the minutes something that's done in background. So going at it like this doesn't take too long. The next thing I have on the agenda is updates from Denise on any board activities or responses since our last meeting. Denise?
Yes, so the board met on December 11th, and I reviewed the board actions on the last council call. Of course, the board has not met since then. Just to quickly recap what I stated at the last council meeting, on December 11th, the board approved the Dotel contract change regarding who is. They also received a status report from CURT on the staff's action with regard to who is in national laws. Staff has revised the proposed implementation of that and reported to the board on that. Staff also, CURT has been providing detailed briefings to the board on proposed implementation plans for the new GTLD's report. This is a process the board is going through to obtain more in-depth information on the proposed implementation plans for the GNSO's policy report as part of their ongoing consideration of the policy report. They also received briefings and discussed the management operating principles, the joint partnership agreement, and follow-up actions on that. Also, IANA IPv6 support, and they also had a few other informational items on their agenda. They're meeting next on January 23rd. I'd like to call a couple of additional items to your attention while I've got the floor. The chairman, Peter Dengate-Thrush, posted an announcement that relates to new GTLDs and board and staff action. Also, I wanted to alert you to the fact that we're coming into a new budget cycle, and I'll be following up on email with some more detailed information on this, but just to highlight it for you, beginning now and going through June, when the ICANN board is set to approve a new fiscal year budget, we will be going through a process to develop a new fiscal year budget for ICANN, and that includes, among other things, funds for the policy department and some of the activities that that the council engages in. From now until the New Delhi meeting, staff will be working to develop it at a very high level some initial budget figures to help generate discussion and conversation about the budget, about the proposed budget in New Delhi. And I'll be, again, providing more information for you and encouraging constituencies and the council to provide any input or guidance that they may have. Official sort of public comment periods will occur at two points during this process. So we'll have a very high-level budget intended to generate conversation and input that will be posted just prior to the New Delhi meeting. We'll be holding face-to-face meetings and encouraging lengthy public comment through mid-May. Around May 17th, we'll be posting a more detailed draft budget, and again, we'll be seeking more detailed comment from the ICANN community on that detailed budget, and then comments will be considered incorporated as appropriate, and then a proposed final budget will be posted in June. So, as I said, we'll be doing face-to-face meetings and discussions in New Delhi. We'll also be arranging for any constituency that desires it, as well as the council, you know, detailed conference call conversations as well. And so now through May will be extensive opportunities to provide comments and input on the budget. So I want to flag that for you. And again, I'll be providing you more detailed information on the email list.
Okay.
I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. I'll take the queue on any comments or questions.
Tony Harris, I'd like to get in queue.
Tony?
And Chuck?
Chuck? Anyone else?
Robin?
Robin? Anyone else?
Christina?
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I just have a question. I think I heard correctly, Denise, that you mentioned the chairman released a statement on new GTLDs. I was trying to find it on the ICANN website, but I don't see it there.
It's a general statement. If you go to the ICANN homepage under latest announcements at the top, January 3rd, there's a clip that says, Chairman, it wasn't a statement on new GDLDs. It was a statement from the chairman that in part mentioned new GDLDs. It's called Chairman Welcomes ICANN Community to a Celebration of Exciting 10 Years of Working Together. And it's a general statement. About upcoming work that ICANN will be engaging in.
Yes, I see it now. Thanks for the clarification.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize if I gave you the wrong impression.
Okay. Thank you.
Chuck, please. Are you on mute?
I didn't hear you. Okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Denise, just one question. Am I correct in assuming that a discussion on the operational plan and budget will be in parallel?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
And they're also taking a slightly different approach this year in trying to engage the community in a conversation about sort of a three-year budget and operating plan to get a more long-term vision and agreement on where ICANN is heading and how we should structure our program, understanding that we will still, of course, create annual budgets that will go through the public comment process and board approval process. But one of the things we want to do now through mid-May is also engage the community in a conversation about about sort of a three-year plan, if you will.
Okay, thank you. Robin? Hello, Robin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thanks. I just had a question on the new GTLD implementation plans. You had mentioned that the board had been receiving reviews from the staff on that, updates from the staff on that. So I was just wondering sort of where we were in the process of that, and is the board going to vote on this issue soon? And where can we find, like, the board discussions of the issues?
So the minutes from the board meetings are posted on the website, and I'd be happy to email out links to that. So the website includes minutes from the board meetings where GTLDs and other agenda items on the board conference calls are discussed. Those can be found there. A date has not been set for a vote, and again, the board is going through a process of learning and asking questions and getting more information from staff about the policy report and proposed implementation of it. And Kurt, I think, is on the call and can answer more detailed questions that you may have. You should also know that, and I'm remiss in mentioning this, that a statement before the holidays was issued on December 21st about some staff actions that have occurred on asking for statements of interest for dispute resolution providers, and a new dedicated web page has been launched that also can be found on the ICANN website, and that'll be the point of information on new GDLD actions in ICANN. So that'll be an important link for council members and other interested people to use in keeping updated on ICANN actions on new GDLDs.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, I just put in here and say it's an excellent site. I looked at it today. It's very good.
Yeah, they've done a great job. Kurt, I don't know if you want to... Kurt, did you have any other information you wanted to share?
Just that, some of the updates that will, so as part of the new website, we announced that we're, as Diane said, searching for dispute resolution providers. We've also secured the consultants, more than one, that are presently writing the RFP, and that we've got a new draft, and then there's new things that will be posted on the website in the fairly near term are that we've we have a paper in final draft that's going to describe how we address the DNS stability issue that is one of the policy recommendations, and also some of the highlights of a base contract that's in, you know, I wouldn't say it's in final draft form because there's a lot that still needs to go into it, but we have another iteration of the draft contract. We also have draft standards for objections based on public morality and also on infringement of rights, but that's going to take quite a bit of iteration before we publish a final form, but we'll be able to publish an update on that. So those are some of the things that will be posted on the website soon. I think the big message is that while we furnish additional information to the board to help them deliberate on the policy recommendations, we've also not stopped the implementation plan, you know, following our implementation plan at all, that it's still being managed to the schedule we generated some months ago.
Thanks a lot. Is there any idea at all on how far or how close we are to a board vote? I know the date hasn't been set, but can you give me any idea, ballpark figure, of how close we are to a vote?
Well, I think Denise pointed out the board is—it's on the board agenda for the upcoming board meeting on January 23rd to discuss. They could vote on it at that time, or decide they'd want some more information before they vote then. So the next discussion of the board is January 23rd, and it'll be an item on the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christina.
I essentially had the same question as Robin. So thank you.
Anyone else have questions or comments before we move on? Thank you, Keith. I think this is a good item to have as a standing item in the agenda, so unless anyone objects and if you're willing, I'd like to keep it in the agenda. Does anyone have a comment on keeping it in the agenda? Anyone think it's something we shouldn't do? Okay, I will keep it in the agenda after the minutes. And sometimes it may just be as quick as nothing new, let's move on. But okay. The next item was to review and extend the timeline for the Who Is study suggestions. At the last meeting, we had basically discovered that things would not meet the schedule that had been defined by the council in its vote in L.A., and therefore, following our intentions to sort of be intentional about schedule revisions, we talked about a revision of the schedule, and the way it looks at the moment was basically today was basically to discuss it. January 7th, basically the template would be published with a set of initial study proposals. The group that was working, one of the questions that was pending was the group that had been working willing to put in some more work. It does seem that they are. There will be several different samples that can be further developed, but definitely sample responses to the questions. Also, Liz has worked with others on the staff, and there will be an online form for people to fill this out. The deadline for the online submission of proposals will be 25th January. The staff, Liz, and perhaps others will put out a collation / summary of the proposals that have been submitted up to that point on 4 February. On 9 February, which is one of our face-to-face meetings in New Delhi, we'll have an open review and discussion of that collated information. The decision on which studies to request estimates for will be the first meeting, it's basically supposed to be the first meeting after New Delhi. This gives us time to discuss it, and it also gives GAC and perhaps ALAC, who tend to perhaps do more during the meeting, to have time to come back to us with comments that then get included in our decision before making the request to the staff. Anyone wish to comment or ask questions about this particular revised schedule? No? is there any objection to continuing with the schedule, or does anyone feel that we should take a voice vote on this particular schedule, or can we accept it by consensus? Any objection to accepting it by consensus? Okay, then.
Aubrey, this is Chuck. I saw an email from Mike Rodenbaugh.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck.
Okay,
go ahead,
sorry,
Mike.
I missed that. Mike?
Sorry, I just sent it through about 45 minutes ago, and basically was just asking that we extend the time a little bit, because right now the schedule that you've posted allows 18 days between publishing the template and the deadline for submitting proposals. And, you know, again, 18 days is a very little time for constituencies to consult and come up with proposals, so I would like that to be 30 days instead of 18, which would basically push everything 12 days.
The only issue with there is that would prevent us from being able to have open discussions about these at the face-to-face meeting. Any other comments?
It would? I mean, well, it seems like it might not because, well, just given the timing, there's a lot of time built in for collation and summary, I guess.
Not that much time.
10 days.
The goal, though, Mike, and I'm not arguing one way or another in terms of your request, but our goal is to try and get things like summaries, any documents that we're going to use in the meeting, to out at least a week in advance, if at all possible. I think this falls a little bit short of that as it is, so that people aren't inundated with last-minute things at the meeting.
Yeah, we had kind of a standing request to try and have everything ready 2 weeks ahead, which obviously we fail at this point. I mean, it's quite possible to say, yes, that this should go on a longer scale basis and indeed push it out, and if that's what, you know, but I do believe that the pushing it out further has the consequence of taking this off the table as a face-to-face, you know, really reviewing what's been submitted for New Delhi, and that's okay if that's what we want to do. In terms of putting the schedule together, I think what we were trying to do, and you know, this was in conversation with Liz and Chuck and others, was to try and, even though we've slipped on this schedule, to still be ready to talk concretely about studies in New Delhi.
So New Delhi, the goal is not to vote, but to basically discuss the proposals that have been submitted.
Right. Basically, they have an open review and discussion, and then have pushed off
really
at least one more meeting.
That needs to be a face-to-face discussion rather than part of our conference calls.
Right.
And I think it's more important that the proposals are thoughtful in the first instance, because that'll cut down on the amount of review and discussion we need to have, hopefully. I just feel like, you know, this schedule was put out basically on the 2nd, and you're expecting, you know, people to be ready to act on the 7th and then be done within 18 days after that. Very tough. You know, these deadlines are often way too quick for meaningful consultation.
Aubrey, if I could jump back in.
Please. I'll take a cue. Anyone else want to come?
I'd actually like to join after Chuck.
As Christina?
No, go ahead, Chuck.
I certainly empathize, Mike, with what you're saying. In fact, that's been a concern of mine as well. Now, one of the things that mitigates it a little bit is that each constituency that was interested had the opportunity to put someone on this working group with regard to the Who Is studies, and it's my understanding that group has already done some thought with regard to possible studies and so forth. So I hope that will help somewhat in terms of the short turnaround, because some thought has already gone into this by at least that group of people.
That's true, but I think in most cases it was one person from each constituency. At least it wasn't ours. It was one person, and of course most of that was done over the holiday season. So most of the other members, at least in our constituency, are not up to speed on this.
Okay. Thank you. Christina, were you in, was it you that had wanted?
Yeah, I was just curious as to whether there are any other constituencies that may have internal guidelines or requirements setting specific time frames within which proposals need to be open for discussion. Because if that's the case, and if it's the case that the current deadlines we've got are going to run afoul of additional constituency internal processes, then it probably makes sense to take that into account, all of that into account right now.
But this wasn't, I mean, I'll bring up, and I'm sure that the other constituencies do, and some of them are even longer than 4 weeks. This wasn't necessarily a, you know, like in a PDP, going to a constituency and doing that full process. It was basically open to anyone, individuals and or constituencies, to submit a study. As I say, if the council wants us to basically push this out so that instead of it being due the 25th, it would be due essentially the, I guess it's the 8th of February, going from the 7th of January to the 8th of February, then the whole schedule can be recast in that one. And
I was actually thinking more of whether there's some kind of compromise solution. I'm just looking at the dates here, trying to figure out whether there may be perhaps a little bit of flexibility on the staff side with regard to collation and summary, given that, as and perhaps I misunderstood, but part of this, part of the goal here was to provide kind of a uniform template that would make comparison and collation much easier. And again, I don't know if there is room here. I certainly understand and agree with the opportunity of having all of this available for actual in-person discussion in Delhi. So we don't really have any flexibility on that end. I'm just wondering whether there's maybe something that we can do between the 25th and the 4th.
At the
you
moment,
know,
the
even,
25th
you know, 5 days,
right.
or
love
4 days, love something like that.
This is Liz. You know, I think part of the challenge is we don't know exactly what to expect in terms of quantity. I think, you know, I too hope that the responses are sort of fewer and thoughtful, and that that would, you know, help us a lot. And that's part of the reason for, of course, posting these samples. And I'm, you know, willing to absolutely give it a try. You know, with shortening the staff time a little. I think the challenge, of course, also is the travel time. And you know, just getting to Delhi and wanting to leave enough time.
Yeah, I think that if the 2 weeks is insufficient, then we should recast the schedule and not try to have the face-to-face discussion on it, not try to crunch things in.
I have one concern on that, Aubrey.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly doable for us as a council because we could do it, you know, on a teleconference later and so forth. That's probably less of a problem in my mind than the fact that I do believe that, and this is really true of the GAC, Alan can say whether it's also equally important for the ALAC, but those organizations I think really do rely on face-to-face meetings for discussing things like this, so I think we miss a big opportunity there if we don't have a summary available at the meetings in India.
Well, one could equally see that pushing the deadline until after the meeting basically gives them time to face-to-face come up with their own suggestions. So there's advantages and disadvantages in both directions.
Also, with respect to the GAC, Chuck, isn't it true that their agenda is basically set long in advance, and do we know whether this is on it or not?
I have no idea.
But I know that I did follow through on what we discussed last time and basically sent them a, you know, advance notice that this was coming down. But I haven't gotten any, you know, feedback on that other than a thank you. So, so I get the impression is that we don't, does anyone think that we should not push this out by an extra 2 weeks? Because most of the conversation has been, you know, sort of supportive of giving it more time. And so for me to come back with another scheduled suggestion, it basically pushes it out. And at this point, I think we might as well push the deadline as opposed to the day before the meeting, push it out to the end of the meeting. Does anyone object to recasting the schedule that way? Okay, in which case I will send out another suggestion of a schedule sometime after this meeting with that, and basically I'll follow through the same pattern that the deadline will be the end of the ICANN week, then there'll be a week for coalition and summary, and then, you know, discussion starting at the next council meeting, whenever that is. Okay? Is that an okay solution? And we'll review this again on list. Okay. Which case, proceed on to item 6, which was a decision on the appeals note on the IDMC working group. There's basically been a fairly stable draft out for several weeks now. That draft is pointed to, the URL is in the agenda. My one possible way to go forward was to approve sending that to the board. I see that Chuck has a counter proposal, and so I guess I'd like to ask him to talk to that.
Sure, and I won't take too much time unless people have questions, because I think I shared my thinking on in an email message and attached the draft, and it's also posted on the Google Docs page. It did basically a different statement that we could put forward instead of the one that the stable one that's been there for a while. My thinking is first of all that I believe that the response from the IDNC committee, in particular from Chris, I suppose, to allow alternates to participate, at least on an observer status, and to allow Aubrey to participate as an observer, goes a long way to meet our concerns, especially if the issue of what names go into G space and what names go into CC space as far as policy development is concerned is not handled by that group, but by a separate group that would be a community-wide group rather than one led by the CCNSO and the GAC. So in a nutshell, that's the basis of what I'm suggesting here, and the essence of the statement I proposed was that we recommend the formation of a new group, an ICANN community-wide group that has balanced representation from the CCNSO and GNSO to deal with the issues of where new TLDs should fit, whether it's in the CCNSO or the GNSO, and that work should go on concurrently. In fact, I said 120 days. My thinking there was so that it beats the June deadline that the IDNC group has set and allows plenty of time before new GTLDs, the new GTLD process has started and so forth. So that's the thinking. If anybody has any questions, I'll be glad to respond.
One quick question I have. Is this a response to the CCNSO's PDP public comment request, or is this something yet again different?
No, this is. I see this as something totally different. We still have a lot of work to do that will be done in the next few weeks, hopefully done this month, with regard to the issues paper response.
But the issues paper is different than the CCNSO PDP proposal.
Yes.
Right. Okay. So we're basically saying there's four things going on.
Yeah, I guess I'm not following you totally.
There's the IDN, and I'm just trying to get it clear.
There's a response to the issues paper.
Right. There's the IDNC.
Right. And this is related to that. At least this is really related to our response to the board motion regarding the IDNC, regarding the fast track approach.
Okay. I'll take a cue on it. Anyone be in this queue?
Philip, please.
Philip? Okay, anyone else?
I think Christina.
No, I'm really having trouble kind of getting my mind around all of this.
Right. Okay.
Denise as well, please.
Anyone else?
Okay, Philip.
Thanks. I think I share some concerns also. I think that other councillors have just expressed. Am I right in saying that the distinction, Chuck, between the subject matter that you're proposing, because that, at the end of the day, is what matters rather than the composition, is that at the moment the only thing that I can is doing to avoid a clash with IDNs in the CC space and the new GTLD process is this fast-track idea which will allow the politically motivated countries to get something that will keep them quiet, to be honest. And what is not being addressed, and this is your concern, is the much wider issue of where do these names in general fit that might have some sort of country or regional identity to them in the IDN space. Is that the essence of the subject matter that's different, and that's why you're suggesting a different group?
Yes, and I don't think that bigger question should be handled by the IDNC, and this idea was not original to me. That really is, I think, a key point in the stable document that's been out there for a while.
Mm.
And so I think that should be separated from the IDNC group, if it ever was part of that, and that's a decision that the community as a whole, rather than a CCNSO working group, should make a decision on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I think that's probably a sound point. Thanks.
Okay, Christina. I'm still thinking
okay.
That you could come back to me.
Sure. Denise. Yeah. For those members who have not had an opportunity to look at the charter and explanation of the IDNC working group, I wanted to note that it is online. I'll send everyone another link to it.
Yeah, but it's been sent several times. But yeah.
The working group has a very limited scope. Their scope is, and the purpose of the working group is simply to develop feasible methods that could be used for the introduction of a limited number of IDN CCTLDs associated with ISO 31661 two-letter codes. They have no decision-making authority. Just to make sure people keep in mind that is the only thing that they are chartered to do. If they're able to come up with a proposed or a few proposed methods of introducing these a limited number of IDN CCTLDs, their proposals will then be vetted broadly with the community and particularly the GNSO will have an opportunity to comment on these as well, the CCNSO GAC and other interested advisory groups before the proposals move forward to the board. Separate from that, of course, the CCNSO is launching a full policy development process to attempt to develop an overall policy for IDN CCTLDs. That's a discrete, separate, and long-term endeavor for the CCNSO that will, I'm sure, at various points involve input and comment from the council as well as the broader public. And that long-term process will culminate in a proposed policy report to the board, just as the GNSO's policy development process is due. And again, there'll be ample opportunity and discussions discussion opportunities for the GNSO as well. So I wanted to clarify those two separate activities and what they entail. And then, as Chuck has mentioned, that of course a third ongoing endeavor is the GNSO's work in responding to the several questions and issues that have been worked on by the GAC CCNSO group.
And much of that input will be relevant to the, and I'm sure considered by the CCNSO as it works on its PDP in this area.
Denise, if I can comment. I think that in the contribution, in the message, the draft that is before, I think one of the things that is discussed is that while it may be possible for you to say that it has a very limited scope and a very limited charter, in intent, by making the decision to approach the decision as it's been approached, they are presuming certain decisions, and that therefore that was the issue, and that the so-called limited scope is really not as strictly limited as everyone is arguing. And I think that was the point that the draft that we've got standing tries to make, is that the IDNC, as it's constituted, makes several implicit decisions about the treatment of the namespace. And I think that is the issue, and that, you know, the intent of that charter is problematic without full and proper representation. And we've had this discussion several times in several meetings.
Could I respond to Denise as well as to what you just said, Aubrey?
Sure. Chuck, anyone else want to be in the queue at this point?
This is Robin. I'd like to be in the queue.
Okay, Robin.
Aubrey, this is Tina. Can you add me to the queue?
Sure. Anyone else? And Christina, you're still in it whenever you're ready.
Yeah, no, I'm still thinking.
Okay. Chuck.
Okay. One of the things I tried to communicate, who knows how well it was communicated in the alternate statement I proposed, was is that regardless of what comes out of the IDNC working group, and assuming that they are able to come forward with some fast-track recommendations, the ability to implement those is going to be dependent on knowing where the names will fit in the policy development space, whether it's in the CCNSO or the GNSO. And I think it would be a mistake to wait and answer that question after they finish their work. It would be much better from a time perspective, both for GNSO and CCNSO, if that question is answered, you know, in a timely manner, so that if there is a fast-track plan and if the new GTLD process starts and includes IDNs, that we all know how it's going to fit from a policy perspective in the ICANN structure. That's why I believe that the question, and I strongly agree with Aubrey, that we do need balanced representation to answer that bigger question. If you clearly remove that from the IDNC, make sure there's no questions about that, and form another group, and that group is well balanced, then I think it deals with the primary concern of the IDNC, assuming that those names are automatically going in the C space.
Sure. And to respond to Aubrey's comment, I will again say that the IDNC group does have a very limited charter. Of course, that charter is based on an obvious sort of decision by the board that there should be IDN CCTLDs. That's absolutely right. And
okay, thank you. Robin.
Thanks. I just want to say that I think that Chuck is right, and that statement is right. And this is a very fundamental question that has to be answered first. What is a new GTLD and what is a CCTLD? And everything else sort of falls from that. And so without having that fundamental primary question answered, and answered in a way where all the SOs are on equal footing, where the whole community is on equal footing, I think we're not going about it right. We've got to answer that big question first, and then we can work our way from there.
Thank you.
Average Adrian, can I be added to the queue, please?
Sure. I've got Tina, then I've got Christina, then I've got Adrian. Before I go to Tina, can I ask you one question, Chuck? So
sure.
What you're proposing is that we send what you wrote to the board as opposed to draft 03.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Tina.
All right. So I, you know, we may have gone over it once before in the previous discussion, but Chuck, just a question for you.
Because I haven't seen your proposed redraft, and so probably I'm not on the right list, but in any event, I just want to make sure I understand you right. So what you're saying is that as opposed to what the current paper says that is posted, to go back and ask the board for reconsideration of its previous decision, you want to just ask the board to approve launching a new group and to take a look at the general namespace in relation to both CCs and Gs and have it as a completely new topic, but keep it separate from the IDNC.
Yeah. In fact, Tina, you know, let me read the very last paragraph of my statement. And I don't know if you're on the council list, but I did send it to the council list as an attachment. But it says this: therefore, the GNSO council recommends the following. A new ICANN working group should be formed independent of groups already working on fast-track IDN TLDs for countries or new TLDs. The CCNSO, GNSO, GAC, and ALAC should jointly develop the statement of work of this group along with any participants from other ICANN bodies as desired. This group should operate concurrently with present efforts such as the IDNC and the implementation efforts regarding new GTLDs with the goal of completing final recommendations within 120 days, thereby avoiding any unnecessary time delays that might impact fast-track names or the new GTLD process.
Okay, so if I could just say, there is especially two reasons why I think that might be a better approach. One is that the discussion of how to divide the general namespace between the CZs and the Gs as far as I'm concerned, does not belong under the IDNC, as Denise was pointing out as well. Their task is much more limited and shouldn't be that broad.
Mm-hmm.
So it belongs with someone else. And a new group would probably be much more appropriate. And the second reason why I think this is a better approach is that I think it's going to be viewed more positively. Of course, I can't speak for the board, but if you ask them to go back and reconsider a decision they already made and to ask them to make changes to that, it's going to slow things down. It's probably going to create some discussions and concerns. So it would be much more positively to look forward and say, well, you decided on this, but then that brought up this on the IDNC, but that brought up the discussion of the division of the general namespace. And that is important for us as well. Can we form another group for that? So it's much more proactive, I think.
Okay, thank you. Christina?
Yeah, I agree. I'm really developing a strong preference for Chuck simply because I think, as Tina points out, it is going to be incredibly difficult as a practical, just procedural matter to have the board revisit this. I think the thing that I'm just confused by, and I would appreciate any clarification you can provide, Chuck, is I'm having a hard time kind of getting my mind around the fact that at the one hand we're saying a prerequisite to doing anything with regard to IDN TLDs is deciding who decides policy for what. But on the same hand, we're also saying, notwithstanding the fact that you've got to do this first, we think the two groups can work in parallel.
Sure. I see no problem with the limited charter of the IDNC, for example, going ahead and seeing if they can come up with a process and whatever short-term policies are needed to allow for implementation of some fast-track TLDs for the CC community. But you can't do it. What I'm saying is the reason it's a prerequisite to decide on the namespace issue is when it comes to implementation. And in fact, even approval of the final policy, if those names are not, for example, and I'm not suggesting that this should be the case, if those names are not deemed to be in the CC space, then the CCNSO should not be the policy body making the policy decisions. And so I agree with you there. But I don't think we necessarily need to hold back their work
as long as it's clear that that decision does need to be made before any final policy is made. I hope that wasn't too confusing.
No. That is a very helpful clarification, and I think you may want to consider elaborating on that a little in this, because that was really the thing I was having a really hard time just getting, is if we're saying it's a prerequisite, how can we recommend that they go forward simultaneously?
Okay.
Okay, Adrian.
Yeah, thanks. I think Christina actually went a lot down the road where I was heading, but I'm just trying to understand how the board would take this. And is it possible, and is it worthwhile, and I'm just sort of running this up the flagpole, but if the board turned around and said, well, no, the IDNC is going to keep going the way they're going, and you know what, Chuck, maybe we'll think about getting your group together. It's a great idea, but we'll get it together. Is there anything that the GNSO could do? Could we not adopt, on our own terms, the same charter that the CCNSO has adopted and come up with our own answers and you know, to the exact same questions that they're asking? And even if we're not putting it forward, if we can't be a part of their group the way we want to, or the group that is proposed, are we not able to potentially just do our own work anyway and answer the same questions and put that to the board as a, you know, just as a proposal?
We could do that, Adrian, but again, it goes against the logic that we're presenting as to why the CCNO shouldn't do that alone. Neither should we.
Hmm.
It should equally involve both.
No, I understand, but I'm saying maybe it's a fallback position, Chuck. In the event that we don't get to contribute in the way that we want to, that maybe it's a way of contributing and balancing the equation. I don't know. Maybe it's a bad idea. I was just thinking.
Can I point out something on that? I think, Adrian, in a sense, we did take the first swing at that when we had our reserve names group, and we came up with we can't build any exclusion lists, we can't build whatever. Now, I don't think it would be necessary, and this is my personal opinion, for us to decide how they go about, you know, doing CCTLD assignments. And such. I think it's the division of the namespace and the implicit division of the namespace that ended up the issue. So I think that we already did take a first crack at it, and that's why we suggested the review process as the only possible mechanism that from a GTLD perspective we could offer for the decision of what is a CCTLD and IDN space.
This is Denise. I think, as several people have pointed out, this area of the dividing line between CCNSO and GNSO and how we deal with the policy management responsibilities, in particularly relating to new names, is something that I think is broadly recognized as being in need of more discussion and resolution. I think this overture, I can of course cannot speak for the board, but I think this overture would be well received and carefully considered by the board, and it would be a useful step for the GNSO council.
Are you saying, is that Chuck?
Pardon?
Sorry, Denise. This overture being Chuck?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Sort of focused. I mean, you know, a really critical question that has not been addressed by the GNSO or CCNSO are some of the issues that Chuck has raised in his draft about policy management issues relating to these new names and where the dividing line is and how they fit into the current structure.
Okay. Does anyone else want to be in the queue at the moment? Okay, from listening to discussion, I get the impression that the note that Chuck put out is preferable to draft 03. I guess the question I'd like to ask now is whether we need to do further drafting on this, or whether the group actually feels that we should send the message as drafted by Chuck and forward to the board, or whether we need to
gives ourselves another 2 weeks of looking and wordsmithing and deal with it finally at another meeting. Of course, that cuts into the 120 days and the ending in time. So I guess I'd like to first of all make sure that the assumption I'm making is correct and that the group does prefer the Chuck's notice to, I mean, Chuck's note to draft 03. And then two, how do we proceed? Are we in a position where we can just say now, yes, this is good, send it to the board, or do we need to spend further time discussing it on the list and come back to it next week?
Audrey?
I'd like to take a cue on that, yes.
Yeah, I just have a clarification question that perhaps Denise can answer. What's the minimum amount of time that something has to be provided to the board before they can discuss it? In other words, have we already missed the window for them to talk about this at their meeting on the 23rd?
I thought that if we
no.
did it this week, we'd still be in time. If we wait until our next meeting, we are.
Okay.
This is Kurt Avery, if I may. The cutoff is generally 2 weeks before the board meeting.
All right. So, if we sent this off today, then it could be considered at the next meeting?
It's a possibility. How it actually works is the executive committee gets together in advance and determines what the agenda will be. And so it's up to the executive committee and the chairman to determine what the agenda is.
But we do meet that two-week threshold if we approve this today. It's still up to them, but at least we're not disqualified for having this the two-week threshold.
Yes,
that's right.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Aubrey, if I could respond to Christina's suggestion on the use of the word prerequisite there in the first paragraph. It does say a prerequisite to adding any IDN-TLDs. Doesn't necessarily mean, you know, working on the possibility of adding them, but I'm open to suggestions for a modification of that. In fact, a modification to anything in it. I'm not locked into the wording that I have.
Okay. So anyone else want to comment on this issue at the moment? I think the issue at the moment is, do we send what Chuck has written this week, or do we discuss it further, send it later, and try to get it on a future board meeting? Anybody want to comment on that?
Edmund.
Go ahead, Edmund.
I say send it.
Edmund was in the queue there, too.
Okay,
wanted to be in the queue.
Anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay, Edmund.
Yeah, I think I just took a quick look at it. It was, sorry, I didn't have the chance to review it in detail. I think there are still some edits that would be useful. I think the team has one and would like to probably work on it a little bit. But in general, I think it will, you know, I support, you know, the direction that it's taking. And perhaps, you know, if we can do a resolution on doing this in principle and then spend the next few days so that at least before the two weeks cutoff that Kurt mentioned to submit it to the board, I think that might be a good approach.
Okay, well, one of the things we have done before is had somebody, and in this case I would recommend it was Chuck, hold the pen on something, basically discuss it actively on the list, and then do a 24-hour, if there are no objections, it gets sent forward. So now for the board meeting is the 21st, you said?
23rd,
so 23rd minus 14. Is the 9th. So basically, we would have to send it out before the 7th, I believe. So do people accept that suggestion that we take
Chuck? Can I ask a question of Edmund, please? Mike Rodenbaugh?
Sure.
Edmund, you mentioned a couple of different things. Is it possible we can just wordsmith that right now and get it done? Because it sounds to me like we have consensus on the gist of Chuck's note anyway.
We're notoriously not good at wordsmithing on the spot, and we've done fairly well with a 24 to 48-hour wordsmithing online.
I'd prefer, probably redlining it, just sending it
right.
as well.
Could you do that, Edmund? Could you do that later today?
Okay.
Yeah, later today my time would be good.
Okay, so today is the 3rd. Can we, and I mean, basically what I'm suggesting is that we spend 2 days until the 5th going through iterations on the mailing list. As of the 6th, Chuck will send out a stable version, and if no one disapproves sending it, then it goes out on the 7th. Does anyone object to following that procedure on Chuck's message? Okay, if no one objects, then I'll say that we have basically a consensus on following that procedure. 2 days of editing, 2 days of editing, then 1 day of, if no one objects, it goes forward. Okay.
And Christina, feel free if you have an alternative wording on that use of the word prerequisite. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so yeah, I'd like to ask anyone that has some issues with the wording to send it up to Chuck as soon as possible so that he can blend them together and get something sent out to the list for us to comment on. And then once it's stable, I'll send it off in the name of the council. Okay.
Do we need an actual resolution right now to...
We can vote on a resolution, or I basically asked if there was any objection. There hasn't, that no one broached a suggestion, in an objection. And if there's no objections on the mailing list, by the 7th, does anyone object to that being the way we proceed? And calling
I just think we should have a formal vote on it, though,
yeah.
to approve that plan.
Okay, we can have a formal vote on it.
Excuse me. Just note, I don't think that we should accept an objection on the mailing list to stop the procedure going on. So if you have a vote now, we authorize this procedure.
Right. I can.
Okay. So to vote on something, I need to write it down. Does anyone have a motion they want to propose, or should I basically propose? Chuck will spend 2 days editing in any changes suggested on the council mailing list.
Perhaps you should put in the word editorial changes.
Chuck will spend 2 days processing any editorial changes. Editorial changes. Just on the council mailing list. On 6 January. January. A final version will be posted on the mailing list. If there are no substantive objections to the wording, the message will be forwarded to the board. Is that acceptable as a motion?
Yeah. And Arva, just for logistics point of view, I assume that you would submit it as chair?
Yes. We hold to the board by the chair.
Thanks.
Okay, I have written that underneath Chuck. So basically what we're voting on is Chuck will spend 2 days processing editorial changes suggested on the council mailing list. On January 6th, a final version will be posted on the mailing list. If there are no substantive objections to the wording, the message will then be forwarded to the board by the chair. So I guess any objections to taking a voice vote on this as opposed to a roll call?
Sorry, Abby, could you read the last passage once more?
Okay, yeah. The last sentence, on 6 January, a final version will be posted on the mailing list. If there are no substantive objections to the wording,
The message will then be forwarded to the board by the chair.
But do we want to authorize anyone to give a substantive objection and then bar the proceedings from going on? Or are we voting on the substantive content now?
I suggest that
we vote on the substantive content now, and that what we are left with are editorial amendments.
And clarifications, minor.
And clarifications,
minor,
yes.
Non-substantive.
Yes, indeed.
I agree with that. And Edmund, are you okay with that, not knowing what your changes are?
I'm generally okay. I think that the main item that was raised was Christina's, and I think that's actually one of the things I wanted to edit in as well. And the same issue I see was in I think at the very last part of the document as well, it's just a matter of I think we're in agreement that it shouldn't be a prerequisite, but right now it implies it being a prerequisite. So
I think there's a presumption that this is already essentially approved. I think that if we're going to send this as a consensus document, then there really has to be an absence of substantive objections to the wording.
Okay.
Otherwise, we need to come and vote specifically on the text.
Okay.
Does anyone have a suggested wording change to what I've written here before I ask for a vote? Okay, I'll read again what I'm going to ask for a vote, and then I'm going to ask for an aye and nay vote unless somebody objects to doing an aye and nay vote. Does anybody object to an aye and nay vote? Okay. So Chuck will spend 2 days processing any editorial changes suggested on the council mail list. On 6 January, a final version will be posted on the mail list. It should be mailing list in both times. Posted on the mailing list. If there are no substantive objections to the wording, the message will then be forwarded to the board by the chair. Any final discussion on this before I ask for a vote? Okay, would all those in favor of this proposed, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed to this, please say nay. Are there any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Chuck, you've got a task.
Yes, got it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on the agenda. The next thing was the memo on proxy voting and formation of a drafting team. Liz was going to give us a quick sort of overview of that memo. Liz?
Sure. So both Dan Halloran and I collaborated on a memo. We were asked to consider the implementation issues associated with proxy voting. The approach that we took was really to focus on the issues that John Jeffrey had previously raised related to proxy voting, and to kind of explore these concerns and look at how the council might consider proxy voting in light of those concerns. So the questions that we answered, the form of the memo that we've provided to the council, essentially looks at specific concerns that John Jeffrey had raised in the past, and then considered how you might move forward to address those concerns and implement proxy voting. So a couple things just to consider at the outset is that, first of all, no other organization within ICANN uses proxy voting. So this would be a change to the bylaws and the structural changes within ICANN. And, there may be other questions that you're asked down the road, but these are a response to the questions that John had already raised. And I think the other thing is just that a number of the questions raised really apply in the context that councils, like boards of directors, require an active participation. And so a number of the questions that were raised really address how you ensure that there is active participation and a level of inquiry, a sufficient level of inquiry and involvement among each councillor, and how proxy voting should be implemented to address that concern. So I don't think I'll go into each of the questions that were raised in the answer, unless the counselor, Aubrey, you'd like me to. But as a sort of threshold matter, you could apply proxy voting to every instance in which the council votes other than in the context of task forces and working groups. At least that's our recommendation. And, you know, that it would essentially, proxy voting would get tabulated like the voting is structured today. And we did also suggest one option to consider in lieu of proxy voting, which would be to consider the possibility, depending on the rationale for wanting to move forward with proxy voting, considering the option of allowing a vote to take place over a period of time following a discussion to give those who were not present during the discussion a chance to both review the discussion and have their vote be considered. And that could be, you know, a set period of time that the council decides to limit that so that it doesn't cause votes to drag on too long, but would maybe provide the flexibility that's being sought depending on how much the variety of concerns or the interest in adopting proxy voting. So why don't I stop there, and I can answer any detailed questions about the memo.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone want to bring up any questions or comments?
I've got a comment, Tony Harris.
Okay, Tony. Anyone else want to be on the queue? Okay, go ahead, Tony.
Actually, I was looking at this, what was just said about extending the period of time. It's sort of at the end of the document, the paragraph before conclusion. And it doesn't sound like such a bad idea, really. Extending, you know, giving 72 hours for an absent counselor to catch up and vote. I don't think it changes anybody's life all that much.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else want to comment at this point? What I had been thinking of, if there are no other comments, was that basically a small group of people that wanted to, basically, we could form a small drafting team, find someone who volunteers to be responsible for it from the group, ask them to basically produce a suggested motion that we could vote on in our next meeting, or at least vote on a week after they had arrived at a suggestion. So basically, we have another meeting in 2 weeks. If we had a suggestion within a week, then we could vote on it at the next meeting. I know that there's been a certain urgency attached to this. I don't think that we should try and wordsmith a bylaw suggestion change in a meeting. And so I'm wondering, I guess, two things. One, do people think that putting together such a drafting team, basically spend a week taking this report and coming up with a proposed bylaw change is the right thing to do? And are you volunteering? Or are there volunteers? And is a week a reasonable time to come up with this after having this memo and having talked and thought about this for a very long time? And I'll take a cue on that topic.
Philip here.
Philip?
This is Robin.
Robin, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Philip, please.
Thanks. I thought the memo that started was very good. I think it covered most of the bases that we would want to do so. I also share, I think, Tony's opinion that the alternative of extending votes sometimes could also be useful, but I don't see these two ideas as being incompatible. I think we should have the full flexibility to take decisions in a way that is best for us and best for the issue and best for the timing, and have the flexibility of both, and we can simply take a decision on when one might apply or might not at the time of a vote. So I think I'd be very happy to go forward, as you suggest, Avery, and I'd be very happy to be part of a little team that's doing a bit of drafting to do a note to council, and I think the timescale you mentioned is wholly reasonable.
Okay, thank you. Robin?
Yeah, I just want to support really what others have already said, and yourself and Tony and Philip, about wanting flexibilities, but wanting to go forward and creating this team to do the work in the next week.
Okay, was that you volunteering also?
Let me get back to you on that.
Okay. Anyone else wish to volunteer at this point?
or comment further?
Just one comment, Aubrey. Doing it in a week, it really narrows it down, especially since, you know, I think it should consider other options besides formal proxy voting. I would suggest just a little bit longer time period, and I'm willing to volunteer to work with this, but boy, sometimes within a week a schedule can be really tough, and that's pretty tight.
Okay, I got you down as a volunteer. And basically, I think I think a week is possible. I think a week is short. I guess I'm agreeing with both sides of it. I think that the group of volunteers that get together can either get something out in a week, in which case we have something to talk about next time, or they can let us know when they would have something. The only reason I suggested a week is because with New Delhi coming up, with travel issues, there are concerns. So I would almost recommend that the group try for a week, and if it can, great, and if it can't, then it can't.
I'll be happy with that. I mean, basically what the group's got to do is produce a first draft in a week, and I think that's possibly doable, and then we can see if there are things missing that council can add to once they see the first draft.
Good. Anyone else want to comment?
It's Liz. I just want to throw something out, which is, you know, I found when I was drafting the memo with Dan that I probably don't fully know why those who feel so strongly about having proxy voting feel that way, which is just an honest, you know, question, given, like, the idea of delaying the voting and some of the rationale for concern about what can happen with, you know, abuses of proxy voting and the type of topics that we're dealing with here, and it's just a suggestion, but I would consider maybe drafting some language that kind of supports why this is really useful and why it's important. You know, you've got New Delhi coming up, and there's obviously, you know, the cost issue associated with these trips and time away from family and other commitments, but, you know, given the teleconferencing, I just, you know, I'd find it could be helpful in others, too, to understand better what the deficiencies are. And
I think the basic answer to your question is that as council members, we're all elected by constituencies to act on matters and vote at some point. And if the rules prevent us from doing so because we happen to be on an aeroplane or happen to be offline or stuck in Cambodia with a bad telephone line, we're disenfranchised. So it's simply trying to exercise our responsibilities.
Hmm. But that is presuming that you're loyal to the proxy voting rules. And I agree that the risk for abusement must be looked into.
Can I ask Liz a question?
Of course.
Liz, do you have the same concerns about an alternative approach, such as you recommended at the end of your document, with regard to extending the time for voting? Do you think that...
No, I don't have a... To be honest, I'm pretty neutral on the whole thing, personally, and I know I don't even, you know, have a vote in the process. And I was honestly raising it more because I think it would help you persuade others who might have reservations. I was really more looking down the road at what, you know, you want to accomplish and that there are concerns about these other matters and how you might, you know, want to frame what you're doing in a way that addresses concerns that others might have, rather than my being a spokesperson for those concerns, which, you know, I'm really an honest broker in terms of putting the memo together.
Sure,
and
no,
to,
I understand that, but
yeah.
Let me rephrase my question.
Yeah.
You made the statement, and I think you're right, and John just confirmed it, that
yeah.
that there are some risks associated with proxy voting, some possible problems. Do you see those same problems in an approach that is, say, allows electronic voting for 72 hours, like Tony said, or 7 days, like I think I mentioned in something I put out there? Do you see those same problems that are associated with proxy voting in that kind of an approach?
You know, I do think there's some benefits to just providing the means for a delayed vote, and maybe that would not be the case with proxy
voting because you can really assure everyone's participation and avoid, you know, this crazy problem that's very real that Philip did illustrate, so that you really do have the participation and that, you know, it's an added benefit that might enhance participation, that might even have an added benefit, I guess, is my gut reaction, but that's strictly just...
And it would seem that you could only use that on a roll call vote, that would be difficult in an ayes and nays vote. But on a roll call vote, you know, the extended voting period might make sense. Then I would wonder whether the people that had the vote on the spot might not starting to think, well, if we've got 7 days to vote, why make a snap decision? So I think it will be interesting. Any other people want to comment or volunteer? I think so far we have Philip and Chuck with Robin getting back to us.
I'll do it, Robin.
You'll do it? Oh, good. That's three of you that volunteered. I think if there are any others, that's great. Liz?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to provide
you,
staff
support.
Can you
provide the coordination support for it?
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. And if we need any additional legal input, you know, I'm happy to coordinate with Dan as well.
And I think the three of you can work careless unless you want to make someone lead and with Liz acting as coordinator. Is this okay with everyone? Does anybody object to following this way forward on this?
So who's taking the lead? Sorry.
You're coordinating and they're equal.
Yeah, I think you want a lead drafter of the document.
I think they can decide who that
is. Okay, fair enough. You bet.
Unless we want to do it now, but I don't see any reason for the council to do it. Does anyone believe we should decide that now?
Oh.
Leave it up to the folks volunteering. And if anyone else wants to volunteer, they should let Liz know. Thank you. Okay, next item is the long-term travel funding plan for council members. At the last meeting, we sort of discussed the fact that it was really two different issues. One was Delhi and one was the long-term. In terms of the new Delhi, the staff offered the resolution, I mean, the response that they could provide through their travel desk coach fares and that people had to work with them to do it, and that this did not include the cost of lodging, and it was just the airfare. And then we had the separate issue, and I believe that one is in process with people working separately with the travel desk and or Denise, and I don't know if there are any open issues on that. The other issue was the letter to either the CEO, the COO, both CEO. I had basically said that I would take the letter that I had written earlier and basically rewrite it so that it only basically reflected the new issue and the long-term issue and not the short-term issue. I put out a letter, I think, a week before, at least a week ago, maybe it was the 21st, I'm not sure the exact date. And we're at the point now where we need to decide whether we're sending this letter. And I open the discussion. Comment? Did I read the letter that we have, or has everyone already read it and familiar with it?
Philip, I read the letter. I thought it was good, and suggest we go ahead and send it.
Okay. And a question. I had addressed it to the CEO, to Paul, with a copy to Doug, and so that is part of deciding the letter. Is that the correct addressee and copy? Does anyone else want to comment?
I thought I recalled Denise suggesting that the COO was the appropriate person to send it to, and so I wonder if it would be better to reverse it and CC the CEO.
Right. This will be an issue that is being handled by the COO, Doug Brent.
Any other comments? I know, Philip, you had spoken fairly definitely last time, I think, about the CEO being the one we needed to address with this.
Aubrey, this is Kurt. May I comment?
Sure, although I want to give Philip a chance to correct me or to make his own statement so that it's not left with me putting words into his mouth.
My only concern is what is the nature of the request? Is it a a request that needs a political decision, in which case it needs CEO involvement and sanction, or is it a request that needs an operational decision that can be accommodated within a planned budget, in which case it strikes me it can go to the COO, and I'm happy to take the guidance of staff on this call on that subject.
Okay, thank you. Kurt?
Thanks, Aubrey and Philip. Doug and I were afforded a chance for a hallway chat on this after the last meeting, and it really doesn't matter who you send it to. Paul conferred with Doug and Paul conferred on this issue the first time, and there'll be the same amount of interchange the next time. So it really doesn't matter who you send it to. It'll it's not going to be interpreted wrongly if you send it to one rather than the other. It'll receive the same consideration. So I wouldn't agonize over it or spend time discussing it.
Based on that, I think we would send it to both.
So, and just to clarify, this discussion about a long-term travel funding for ICANN's volunteers will be an active discussion in New Delhi, and the COO is developing a proposed long-term policy and practice for ICANN in this regard, and his intention is to move it forward as part of the next fiscal year budget, and this will be something that ultimately will be done with board concurrence, if not approval.
Okay.
Well, actually, it would be board approval if it was incorporated in the budget, but
okay, thank you.
That's sort of the mechanism he's using.
Okay. In response, this is my personal view to Philip's thing, I think that, in a sense, it is both a political and an operational decision,
yeah.
And I think addressing it to both is not a wrong thing to do, and with what Kurt said, perhaps that is the best approach to take. Does anyone object to basically addressing it to both? Then it would be Dear Sirs as opposed to Dear Dr. Toomey, but... Does anyone object to that change? Okay, I think I'd like to take a roll call vote on this one. The letter is written, does indicate whether we have a strong majority or not. And, of course, if we have a strong majority, I'll leave the word majority in. If we don't have a strong majority, then it'll be just a majority. And I did have a note at the end that included the vote by which this was approved. Obviously, if it's not approved, we don't send it. But I do think with the discussion that there's been and the various constituency levels of issue, I think it's one that we should have a roll call on. Does anybody object to doing a roll call vote on this?
Sorry, Ray, I do not object. I just want to mention that I will be voting, though I'm already... My travel expenses are already paid for by the ICANN. So in one sense, I don't have an interest myself in this, but I'll be voting.
Okay. Yes, I understand. I think all three of us that are NAMCOM appointees are slightly different, but I think as council members.
Indeed, that's my understanding as well.
Okay. Is there any other discussion before I ask roll call on it? So the roll call would be, and the motion is basically, as written, was to, whereas the GNSO Council remains concerned about the funding of the council members to attend future ICANN meetings, resolve that the letter be sent to the CEO of ICANN and to the COO of ICANN. Any further discussion? Okay. In which case, Glenn, would you do a roll call on this, please?
I will agree. Philip Shepherd?
Yes.
Mark Rodenbach?
Yes.
Bilal?
Yes, yes.
Christina?
Yes.
Cyril is not on the line. Tony Holmes?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Greg Ruth?
Yes.
Robin Gross?
Yes.
Carlos Souza?
Yes.
Adrian Kinderis?
No.
Chuck Abrams?
No.
Edmund Chan?
No.
John Bing?
Yes.
Avery Doria?
Yes.
Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
Have I missed anybody?
Is Jordy no longer on the call?
Jordy, I don't think was on. Is Jordy on the call?
Okay, I guess he wasn't on. Okay.
I don't think he was on the call, Chuck.
Yeah, you're right.
So, can you tell me what our majority and supermajority requirements are and what we got as a vote?
We have 6 votes against. Those were Adrian Kendris 2, Chuck Gomes 2, and Edmund Chan 2. And we have 12 votes for.
We definitely have a majority.
I think we have exactly a supermajority. No, I guess we don't. Cause we have
no,
four.
I think we're just short of supermajority.
Yeah.
Right. So a majority, so the text will read a majority of those in the council, and in the sending this message was approved by the council by a vote of 12 to 6, is what the message will say.
Perhaps, Aubrey, you should also include the number of councillors voting, 12 to 3.
Well,
double voting.
Yeah, no, we've gone through, as long as we've got the weighted voting, I think we should just list the votes, since that's the basis on which we operate. And I know there's all kinds of issues about the weighted voting, but that is the bylaw procedures we're under. So,
the total number of votes for this call are 18.
Right. Okay. Then moving on. So I'll get that sent up to them. The next item was discuss the new Nelly meeting organization. Basically, we have scheduled 2 days, the Saturday, Sunday in advance again. At the moment, I had six topics that were on that face-to-face meeting. The first one, I think, was going to come off, which was the review, the study pricing information, and take next steps on studies. I don't think that we're going to do that because we had a decision earlier to basically give more time to people on that one. Other issues that we had on were discussion of the IRT working group recommendations in detail. We're going to have had a first discussion on it sooner at the next meeting, but basically to take that discussion further and, you know, start figuring out how we're going to handle those. Discussion of IDN issues related to board resolutions 7, 57, and 89, and basically we should have, if I understand, 757 is the paper that Chuck's working group is working on revising. We should have it revised by then and be able to discuss the issues in depth. Discussion of GNSO improvements. I have every expectation and hope that the board will have revised its recommendations and hopefully taken them a step further. I assume we'll have something to talk about at that point, but...
Aubrey, can I comment there?
Sure.
It seems to me that even if the board doesn't come through mm-hmm. with even partial information in that regard, that that's a topic that there are certain things we could begin discussing on even before the board takes action.
I think that's probably a good idea if we can start improving. Okay. At a first discussion of the IRT initial report, we should have the initial report on the inter-register transfers PDP that's ongoing. That initial report should be ready by then, and we should be able to discuss it by then. And I guess that was it.
Could I jump in on that one also, the IRT report? And Liz may want to comment on this. My understanding is there, as of yesterday at least, there were only two constituency statements that had been submitted on that. And so this is just a reminder for the other four constituencies to try and get their statement in on that, even if it says as little as, you know, we have no position, so that it makes it easier for Liz to do the initial report.
Yeah, with only two statements, it's unlikely that this 20th date.
And then the other thing that we would have on that day is, and this would, we would have already discarded the deliberations, but we should have done the deliberations on the main tasting final report and be working on our next steps. We have a first discussion on that the 31st of January, but I don't assume that we'll be finished with it by then. So we'll have an extended discussion on as part of our deliberative process on the main tasting.
Curious, we're expecting the initial report from Liz on Monday. Hopefully that's still happening. It's delayed now over about 3 weeks. Why are we waiting until January 31st? Is it something that we could get into our agenda for January 17th to discuss?
Well, we have to go out between the initial report and the final report. I believe we have to go out for public comment.
Yeah, that's right.
So our PDP process,
I can barely hear you, sorry.
Right, so the initial report goes to public comment then on January 7th. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when it's published, that's when the open comment comes back, and then the final report gets prepared, and then we get to start our deliberation process.
I see. Okay, thanks. Sorry.
So that would be a substantive discussion that we would be able to have there. The other part of the organization planning for the meeting is a suggestion that we continue the process that we used last time, and that's basically take several topics, give an overview, either the staff or someone from the council gives an overview, then we have open discussion on that topic, and then we have council discussion and decision if there's a decision being made, and then move on to the next topic and cyclically go through probably three, maximum four topics that way. I don't know what topics will be ready for that level of discussion yet, and I think we need to sort of think about that and talk about that somewhat on the list. The thing, though, that was pointed out to me last time that was missing when we did that is we didn't have a chunk of time that was purely open comment period. And so this time, in addition to picking three or four topics to go through in this sort of manner, that there will also then be a period of at least 45 minutes and an open comment period. We've requested the time to be able to do that, still waiting for feedback from ICANN staff that's doing the scheduling to see whether we actually have the time to be able to do that, because we're asking, I believe, for a full 2.5 hours with a break in between. So I'd like to open the table and the floor for a discussion on the meeting and how we go about doing it. Okay, we're not going to close that discussion at this meeting. This was basically the first time when we just start to put it together. Then basically the way I was viewing it is Chuck and I and some of the staff folks would sort of take what the council says during this discussion, come up with a further developed proposal for how the meeting goes, and then present it to the council for further discussion later. Anyone want to comment? If not, we'll move on, but okay. So we'll talk about it on the list. If anybody has any issues or comments on things they think need to be on the agenda, please let Chuck know, please let me know, and we'll make sure that we fit it in, and then we'll float a further proposal out to the list for further discussion. Any last comments on that before we move on? Okay, the action item list. Now, there was a comment made that one should spend a little less time on it than I've been spending. And perhaps the thing to point out are just changes in it since the last time. So if this is not right, I'll come back to it again and modify what I do. In terms of reserve names, recommendation for existing CLBs, Patrick said he should be ready to report on that at our next meeting. Other changes, in terms of the IRT PDP, basically we had extended constituency deadline until the 25th of December. Unfortunately, the final one did not come through. However, we had discussed at the time that we would still publish the initial report as targeted on. Wait a second, no, I got this backwards. This one we just talked about, and we were hoping for more, but there's still a target to get this out on 20 January, but we really do need more. Backwards. No. So that one is 20 Jan is initial report is due, and people need to get their constituency reports in. The main tasting PDP is the one where we're still short one constituency report. The deadline was extended, but the extra constituency report has not been submitted. What we had talked about last time was that the initial report would go out with that one pending, that when that constituency report was ready, it could be submitted to the list, to the open comment list, with the rest of the comments, and then after the comment period, it would be bundled in with the comments and such in the final report. And that was pretty much what I believe the council had been leading to the last time we talked about it, that while it made sense to give a certain amount of leeway, that we really had to be careful not to extend things indefinitely in terms of getting a constituency report in. So that's the plan that we're planning to follow now, unless there's any strong objections. Okay. I have the Who Is studies here. I will obviously have to correct that based on today's discussion, that we will leave the submission time open until after the New Delhi meeting, until the end of the New Delhi meeting, and then I'll extend the schedule to go along with that. And then there's no other changes. Does anybody have any questions or issues on the action list as it currently stands? No? Okay. Moving to the next thing is any other business? Does anyone have any other business at this point?
Christina, I don't have business, I just have a comment.
Okay.
And that is, I'm prohibited from using the Google Docs at work, so anytime we're having a meeting that's basically from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., I'm not going to be able to use it. So I don't know whether there are other alternatives out there that we can explore, but if so, it would be helpful.
Okay, thanks. I'll look into it. I mean, before going to Google Docs, I did ask some of the people on the staff whether they had any, you know, similar tools, and they didn't, and they did recommend that I use Google Docs at that point. But I'll keep checking.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks. And what I can do, though, is also make sure that, can I ask, can you not even look at it, or can you not use it for editing?
It's really just more of a kind of an ITF policy.
That you can't go to Google.
Yeah. No, not that I can't go to Google. They just don't want me doing online collaboration. I guess there was a problem at the past with some other person, and it just, anyway.
Okay, so you still would be able to see it. You just wouldn't be able to do any online editing yourself.
Correct.
But if I was online editing a motion like I did today, you would be able to see this.
In theory.
Okay, great.
Not in my control.
Right. Okay.
Christina, are you working for the Chinese government now?
I am. How did you guess? No. you know, they cut me a lot of slack for all the other stuff I have to look at. So when they ask me not to do something, I kind of have to listen.
Okay, well, I'll keep looking for other solutions.
But just average, Adrian, just on that, it doesn't sound like that Christina's going to be able to do any online collaboration.
Not during the day, but she could from home if she worked out of schedule.
Right.
Right. So I don't know that you necessarily need to look for anything else. This may be fine if she can view, and if she wanted to send through an edit at the time, she could send it to the council list and someone
right.
can...
Right, yeah, no, as long as everybody's fine with that, I'm happy to do that. I just don't know whether other people may have similar accessibility problems.
And I'm certainly willing to put any edit that anyone sends to the mailing list because they couldn't or didn't want to or whatever, do it in Google. I'll certainly put those through in your name.
Yeah, it's Alan here. Christina, are you sure? The restrictions I've normally heard are that people cannot log on to Google from work, which means you can't look at it either.
You don't have to log on to look. There is a general open.
Yeah, that I've used. I've never actually tried to log on, so that might actually be the problem.
Okay.
No, anyone can look without logging on. You have to log on to edit.
Okay, that's fine then. Sorry.
Okay, any other business? In which case, we are ending 12 minutes early. I think that's the first time in a long time. I thank you all.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you on the list.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye.